inventory in USA. He said, "Pulled ear, is very good for the intelligence because it connect to some point, meridian point connect to the brain. So when you pull the ear, those in USA, those children who pull the ears all come up top 10. So from this documentary, I start to understand, I start to appreciate why my teacher asked me to pull the ear. So similarly, you see, Buddha already know 2,600 years ago, Buddha asked her to pull the ears. So pull it. Then it connect to the brain, meridian connect to the brain, then it awaken you, make you awake. Okay. So if this doesn't work again, then you rub your body, rub your limbs, but not in a meditation hall. If not, everybody rubbing, very disturbing. The neighbor will be very, very, very angry. The one who sit beside you will get very angry with you. This one, I remember in Taiwan, there's during the interview section, one bhikkhuni reported. She said that when I'm doing my meditation, my concentration becomes so good. Suddenly, the person who sit beside me keep on rubbing his body, massaging his body. He said the voice is so disturbing that caused a lot of anger in me. Therefore, be mindful. Don't disturb your neighbor. Don't disturb those who sit beside you. So better get up and rub somewhere. Okay. Or if you cannot, you go, really cannot, you do standing meditation. For sitting, you can sway your body, no problem. But for standing, you dare not to sway your body. Once you sway, you fall down, it's very embarrassing, you know. So you can do standing meditation, or you go out. Really cannot stand already, go out and do walking meditation. Wash your face and do walking meditation. But the best way is don't eat so much. If you eat little bit, even cause slow and torpor. Unless you cannot sleep well last night. Unless you are too tired today, then you will have slow and torpor. Because your mind want to rest. Too tired, your mind want to rest. So automatically you will have slow and torpor. Otherwise, slow and torpor is not the main issue. Okay? Or you can open your eyes. Some people say that they cannot sit with closed eyes. Then you can open a little bit. Open a little bit your eyes and meditate, no problem. Okay, so this is how to overcome, this is the ways how to overcome slow and torpor. The next one is restless and remorse. Restless is very difficult to overcome. Why? Because only Arahant know restless. So it's very difficult to overcome restless. And restless is the direct opposed to concentration. If we can overcome restless, then we have achieved concentration already, right? So one way to overcome restless is to keep on counting your breath. Keep on using counting method. Breathing in, breathing out, one. Breathing in, breathing out, two. Keep on counting your breath. This is one way to overcome restless. And in Burma, there's another method, using Anapanasati, but they use heavy breath. They breathe very loudly. When you come in, everybody breathing exercise. Breathe in, breathe out very loudly until the whole body shake and perspire. This way is very effective to overcome restless. In Hong Kong, very, very popular. One day when I reached Hong Kong, then my student told me that this method is very popular. And he said that because we need it, because their life is very taxing. So they need this heavy breath, heavy breathing in and breathe out to, when you breathe out, heavy breathe out, also to let go, to relieve all your tension, all your, depression, all your sorrow in the mind. So you let everything through your breath, let it go out. So it's also very effective, but not in this retreat, okay? If you do, one person do this heavy breathing in the retreat, 100% will get angry with you. Then you do not receive any metta from them, you also cannot make progress. You can do it at home when you are alone, not in a group retreat, group meditation, okay? So these are the two ways. One is by counting, one is heavy breath. You can overcome the restlessness. Worry, restless and remorse. Remorse, I don't think remorse is a great hindrance. Is it a great hindrance? No. So if it's not a great hindrance, then we will skip it. And the last hindrances is doubt. Doubt is also not a great hindrance for Asian, but it's a great hindrance for Westerner, not for Asian. For my own teaching experience, I prefer Asian develop some doubt instead of no doubt. If no doubt at all, sometimes you believe what people say, you just believe it 100%, you accept it 100%, which to me is also not okay. Like blind faith, which I don't think is okay for us. So sometimes certain things you should doubtful, then you should doubt for it. Certain things you should not doubt, then you should not doubt. But for Asian, I think we better develop more investigation of the Dharma, not doubt. Investigate the Dharma more. Don't simply accept what people say. Because there are so many teachers coming from other countries, some preach the wrong view. Some, they know what you want. As a lay person, they know what you want. You want health. You want wealth. Then you want what? Some more? Blessing. Then some more? So they know what you want. So they only give you what you want. Then they can attract so 1,000 people. We do not give you what you want. We give you suffering only. To come to meditation is only suffering, unless you develop jhana or wisdom. Otherwise, it's only suffering. Right? So we only teach what Buddha taught. We do not try to please you. We do not try to attract you by what you want, like blessing, give you wealth, give you empat ekor, and so on. No. So you should be able to discriminate, not only based on blind faith. Okay? So, and really, if you really encounter doubt, you should look for teacher. Look for those who are wise, knowledgeable, or go to the sutta and find out the answer for yourself. Don't keep the doubt in you. If you keep the doubt in you, it becomes a hindrance. You also cannot make progress. You have to solve it by associating with wise person, by looking into sutta directly. Because all sutta is the teaching of the Buddha. The four sutta, Majjhima Nikaya, Anguttara Nikaya, Samyutta Nikaya, and Dikha Nikaya, Kuttaka Nikaya. So please directly look into sutta. You should be able to find the answer. Or discuss with who have long standing in their monkhood or nunhood. They are capable, they are knowledgeable, they are able to answer your question. Okay, so these are the few ways that you can overcome your hindrances. Once the hindrances are gone, then your mind can settle down on your object easily. Then you can develop either concentration or wisdom. Okay, so that much is my talk today. I think I still have some time. I want to answer, or maybe you have question on the spot. Any question you want to ask? Next section, we have question and answer section, but now it's regarding my talk.
Hi, Aya. Just want to follow up with you. You say about remorse. Is it something to do with guilt?
Yes.
Can you, because you say even though it's not the major hindrances, but can you share how to, the methods to overcome this? Because sometimes we may also come across, you know, this guilt and remorse.
Remorse, okay, or guilt or remorse. There are two remorse. One is you regret over what you have not done. For example, now you have not done, when now you have, let's say, you reach 50 years, then you say, only now I come to know the meditation. So late already. Better than no, better than none. So you should say, okay, since time is too short for me, I have to put more effort. This is called wise attention, right? And another one is you remorse what you have done wrong in the past. What we have done wrong in the past, sometimes it pop up and disturb our mind. Then we should tell ourselves, it has already gone, right? It has already gone. So there's no point to keep on thinking about it. But you can make yourself a better person. You have done wrong, you restrained yourself not to do it again and try to accumulate more and more kusala, more and more wholesome things. That's all, it's very easy. Okay, there's another way I want to add in, just now I missed. There's one way to overcome the sloth and torpor is directly observe it. This I have been sharing with many, many people, and those who are receptive find it very effective. For example, sloth and torpor comes. Your mindfulness must be keen enough, fast enough. Don't wait until your body swear only, no, you are sleepy. That's too late already. How you know that's sloth and torpor? Okay, now you answer me. How you know, or when you start to know there is sloth and torpor in your mind? When you start to know, and on noting the head, that's too late. That is too late now. I want you to know. When you start to know, there's sloth and torpor in your mind. Very dark, heavy. That's also too late. Yes, precisely. When you breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, you lose your object. But also not restless. You just lose your object. At that moment, you must know this is sloth and torpor. Don't wait until heavy head, noted, or swear only you know. That is too late already, okay? So you have to train your mindfulness to be keen, precise, sharp. Then the moment you know, you lose your breath. Then you know this sloth and torpor, and look, observe the sloth and torpor. Observe the sloth and torpor directly. Now just you watch me like that, directly. Now you observe this object directly, only 1 moment, 2 moment, or 3 seconds, your mind become clear again. I have tried this many times, and I share with my students, most of them can do it very well. And quicker way, rather than rubbing your hand, go out, washing the, that takes long time. And in this way, very soon you overcome, very quick you overcome your sloth and torpor, and you gain confidence. I'm no more afraid of you. Next time you come, I'm no more afraid of you. Then you gain confidence in the Dhamma. Then also by directly observing this sloth and torpor, finally, if your insight if your insight is sharp, you also can perceive this sloth and torpor is not yourself. One day, many, many years ago, I think more than 20 years ago already, when I observed my sloth and torpor, and I see it completely not myself, which is also one of the inside knowledge. Otherwise, we always think sloth and torpor is myself. I am sleepy. I am restless. I am angry. I am lustful. So we perceive all the hindrances are myself, which is the wrong view, right? So by directly observe it, first, you can overcome it very fast. Secondly, you gain confidence. Thirdly, you can see, finally you can see sloth and torpor is not myself. It's separate from you. It's just a mental factor. If sloth and torpor is yourself, after you overcome your sloth and torpor, where is the self goes? You see, if the sloth and torpor is yourself, equal, sloth and torpor is myself. So after you overcome the sloth and torpor, where is yourself? Where is yourself go? You cannot get answer, right? So this means that sloth and torpor is not myself. If it's not myself, what is it? It's just a mental phenomena, just a mental state, arise and passing away, arising and passing away according to cause and conditions. Then you gain insight. Now you gain insight. Okay? Okay, any other question? Yes.
Thank you, Aya, for the insightful teaching. When the anger arises, we can one thing I experience is to investigate why the anger arises. Then it could come a clarity that it is our state of the mind perceiving things that actually causes the anger.
Yes.
So when that arises, then we begin to reflect that state of mind can be changed. Is this the right way to practice?
Yes, correct. Just now mentioned the fourth way. Fourth, Buddha said, investigate the cause of it. Why my anger arise? Depend on what? What caused it? So the fourth way to investigate what caused your anger to arise. This is called investigation of the Dharma. It's very good. Okay, any other question? Okay, since there's no question, I would like to answer one question. That's how to practice anicca, dukkha, anatta in our daily life. This is my favorite talk. I'm more interested in teaching this one rather than anapanasati. But I cannot teach you in the very beginning. Because if you don't have concentration, you don't have mindfulness, it's also very difficult to practice anicca, dukkha, anatta in a daily life. Okay. To practice anicca, dukkha, of anatta in a daily life, you need two mental factors. Number one is mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is aware of what is happening at this moment in your mind and body. For example, you're sitting here, whatever appears in the body, stiffness, hardness, hot, cold, the mindfulness knows it. The mindfulness aware of it. Or what arises in your mind, anger, jealousy, lust, conceit, sloth and torpor, restless, competition, then some more, obstinate, and so on. So whatever arises in your mind at this moment, mindfulness is able to aware of it. Mindfulness aware of it. So whatever arises in your mind and body, mindfulness knows. This is called mindfulness. So mindfulness first, it recognizes. Mindfulness recognizes what's happened at this moment in your mind and body. And second, mindfulness also accept whatever arises in the mind and body without grasping, neither grasping nor rejecting. For example, anger arises in your mind. Mindfulness knows. But if you react to the anger, I don't like this anger, I hate you, why come again and again? Then there's no mindfulness. You already react to the anger already. Mindfulness know anger has a reason, but you don't judge whether this good, this bad. No. Mindfulness just know only. You don't judge it. But you may ask, isn't that anger not good? Isn't that we should push anger away? Yes or no? Should we push it away? Just now you say use metta to overcome anger. Now you say no. Therefore, to come to practice, you must understand the practice well. In certain time, we need to push it away. In certain time, we don't have to push it away. Why we don't push it away? Because we want to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta of anger. If you push it away, it disappears. How to contemplate anicca, dukkha of anatta? Right? So it depends on what you want. You want to use metta to replace the anger, it's also fine. But you do not develop insight of impermanence. If you want to develop insight of impermanence, you got to directly observe it. Don't push it away. So when anger arises in your mind, mindfulness, know it, aware of it, don't push it away. Don't say, this is not good, I don't want. No, just know. Know it, hold it, sustain. Mindfulness sustain the object. Like pause it. So mindfulness knows anger. Anger has a reason. Anger has a reason. Anger has a reason in me. Then secondly, use wisdom. What's the characteristic of wisdom? Wisdom penetrate things as they really are. So wisdom penetrate into anger as impermanent. So at this time, you should use wisdom to contemplate the anger state of mind as impermanent. How to contemplate? Just mentally note. Take the anger as object, mentally note impermanent. Understand? Okay, you say understand, I remember once when I give a talk about this one, mindfulness and wisdom, how to contemplate impermanent. After 1 hour, I finished. I asked, any question? One person put up her hand. Sister, how to contemplate impermanent? I just spent 1 hour to teach you how to contemplate impermanent. The moment the talk finished, you asked me how to contemplate impermanent. I shocked like anything. So from his question, I start to understand. Things appear very easy to me, but not easy to you, So I start to understand. So that's why I want to make sure you understand. So when the anger arises in you, first apply wisdom, mindful of it, aware of it. Anger has a reason, okay? It won't disappear so fast, man. Anger is very stubborn. So anger will not go away so fast. So you're mindful of it, use mindfulness. Then second, use wisdom. Use wisdom to contemplate. How to contemplate? Just mentally say, impermanent. Understand? After question and answer, don't ask me how to contemplate impermanent, okay? So impermanent, impermanent. Then you will see what happened to you. For somebody, anger immediately subside. For somebody, slowly subside. For somebody, persist for a while, but finally subside. For somebody, they contemplate impermanent, impermanent, and might go somewhere else. So anger cannot see anger subside. So there are many possibilities, right? But I want to share one of my students' experience. This, my student, she was American, and she was Dharma teacher. One day she came for my retreat. And my favorite teaching is teaching how to contemplate impermanent. Because I myself benefited from it. Therefore, I would like to share, right? So I always share, even I'm teaching samatha, concentration, meditation, I always add more, give more than necessary. So I always teach my student how to contemplate impermanent. So I say, whatever arises in your mind, whether it's anger, jealousy, greed, cruelty, and so on, mentally note, mentally mark, mentally contemplate it by reciting, saying, mentally saying, impermanent, 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 impermanent. Okay. So one day, this my student, early in the morning, she wake up early in the morning. She did not understand why the day she was so much anger. She also cannot understand why. Sometimes when you come for a retreat, what you have, suppressed in your heart for a long time, then in a retreat it will come up. So maybe for this, my student, maybe the anger she has suppressed for a long time suddenly appear. That's why she cannot understand why she has so much anger. Then she said that, she told me, today, one day gone because of anger. She thought she cannot meditate anymore because the anger is so strong. But suddenly, she remember what I have shared, contemplate impermanent. She said that, she told me later, later on she reported to me, said that, sister, when you first share with us, I don't believe. How can it be so easy? Contemplate impermanent, impermanent, and anger go away. Ayo, how can it be so easy? I don't have confidence. I don't have faith. But now she was so angry and no way to escape from the anger. Whether my method work or not, better try first. American is very open-minded one. Try and see yourself. So he said, why not I try? So she tried. So take the anger and contemplate impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Very soon, the anger disappeared in no time. She was overjoyed and so happy and come and reported to me and tell me that, sister, when I go back home, he said, is it contemplate impermanent? She told me this, the word of impermanent, just like magic mantra. Mantra, you know? You know mantra, we like Tibetan like to recite mantra, mantra. So it works like magic mantra. He said, when I go back home, I'm going to write on the paper, many, many papers, and paste all over my room so that I will not be forgetful. So that every time the emotion state arises in my mind, I can see the impermanent and reminded me. Because she already experienced it, and she overcome her anger, which she thought, she will have a bad day. But just by contemplate impermanent, she overcome her anger. Since she had good meditation. So this is what she shared with me. Whether it works for you or not, you have to try it for yourself. But if you try one time, not effective, then you say, no, sister's method, not effective. If not effective for you, how can effective for other people? Right? So if not effective for you, there are many reasons why. First, your mindfulness is not sharp. Because she is Dharma teacher, she has good meditation experience. Her mindfulness and wisdom are sharp. So if it's not effective for you, simply because your mindfulness and wisdom are not so sharp. Secondly, while contemplating the time, your mind goes somewhere else. You know, you are not focused. So it also become not effective. There are so many reasons. And you cannot say, try one and not effective, then you give it up. You have to try many times. Many, many times, only you will know whether it's effective or not. This is a gradual training, gradual path. The Buddha's path is a gradual path. Not only one noting, you can overcome all the deformments. If it's so, we all become arahant already, right? It takes time, patience, persistent effort. Only the Dhamma will unfold itself. Okay? So how to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta in our life? So whenever six sense spaces come to contact with six sense object, when there's anger arise, use mindfulness, aware of it, and secondly, use wisdom to contemplate impermanent. Sometimes you can change. You can contemplate non-self. Sometimes you can contemplate suffering. But impermanent is most effective at this moment. Once you understand impermanent, the nature of suffering will become clear, and the nature of non-self also will become clear to you. And this contemplation of impermanent, you don't have to wait to go for retreat and start. No. The moment you go back home, you can start already. So long you have mindfulness, you can start at any time. No need to wait until you come for a retreat, or no need to wait until you sit on the cushion. Deformment will not wait until you sit on the cushion. Anytime deformment will attack us. So when the deformment comes, you just have to arouse your mindfulness and wisdom and overcome them. Not only overcome, you also developing insight. That insight can lead you to liberation. Okay, that's all for today's talk. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.